I'm Brian. And this is RNB Talks.
Live and direct.
Well, into your home.
Sort of.
After we upload it when we're done.
So not so much live or direct.
Live-esque.
As we ping pong through the internets.
Yes. As we bounce finitely through all of the different gateways and portholes. Finally to your screen.
We're not wizards, bro.
Hey.
This isn't wizardry and witchcraft here.
I'm a wizard.
Oy vey.
I'm just not a traditional wizard.
So, Brian.
Okay.
What's up? How you been? How's it hanging?
Been Mr. Mom you? This week. Dig it. Love my kids. You know, but it's tough, man. I, you know, you learn to appreciate your wife a lot more when you're in that role, right? Mm-hmm. And you realize, dude, she's doing so much that I'm not aware of every day. Like just little ancillary things, right? That you're not aware of. And I have a much higher appreciation for my wife right now.
That's good. Whenever you can have more of a appreciation of something, it's a good day.
So if anybody ever tells you being a mom is an easy thing, liar. You are a liar.
No one would say that.
Some people will.
No, some
people. Feminists like to say, oh, all you do is stay home with your kids.
Well, because they're idiots, though. They don't do it, so they don't know.
So shut your face hole, feminists. Sorry. Okay, shut your face mouth. Don't want to hear it. Anyway, how about yourself, Reg?
Good, brother. Bought my second splitting ball.
Yeah, how'd that go today? Did you use it today?
I used
it. The Fiskars, right?
It's the Fiskars. Yeah, I bought the Fiskars. So I have the... So, okay, let's get nerdy. I got the Fiskars X27 felling axe, which I've been using a little bit here and there, alongside the Channel Locks 8-pound splitting maul that I had, which is fiber, all the fiberglass handle stuff. So I have, like, felling axes, though. All the felling axes I have, I've always liked wood handles. Mm-hmm. So, but the problem is, handles... If it's not a really good piece of hickory, If it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't come from somebody who really knows what they're doing about the grain and the wood, it's not heartwood or whatever. It's just not your handle's pointless if it's wood. It won't last.
Most axes I've used that don't have quality handles, those handles will split if you're doing any kind of heavy work with it.
It doesn't matter.
It's dead.
It doesn't matter how accurate you are or whatever. It's just the fact is your handle's taking a lot of shock. Anyway, so, I really, really want a nice wood handled splitting axe or maul, right? And so, but the problem with the Channel Lock one I got from the local hardware store is it's just like the angle on it's just really, really like not rounded, but it's not sharp at all, which a lot of mauls aren't like that, but it's like it bounces so much. And you'd think that an 8-pound freaking sledgehammer
that's a heavy maul.
Yeah. And I'm swinging it hard.
Yeah.
And and keep in mind, I'm also splitting very hard woods, oak for one. And so, it also
depends on how you hit the grain, right? Like the grain crossways, it'll bounce even if it's a good.
Yeah, but I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying like, I want to have more penetration into the round. So, the felling axe is cool from Fiskars, the X27. It's not near like a maul, but the profile on the head is like very, very much a straight wedge. It's cool. It works phenomenal. However, that handle vibrates so much when you swing that thing that you feel they say, oh, it's got this vibration redo. No, it's like a freaking spring goes bang, and you're like, so you feel every ounce of it.
So well, how do you feel about like fiberglass handles and things like that?
Well, that's what it is.
I mean, do you fit, if you're swinging a really nice wood handled axe and you're swinging a fiberglass handled axe, is there a difference in the way those feel?
Yes.
What's the difference?
it's so the wood is way more solid feeling, and there's not as much vibration typically in a wood handled tool like that. Now, you can argue that the fiberglass or synthetic handles and stuff will last longer and be more durable, as they will take more punishment depending on how you, what on the piece of wood that the handle is made out of. But it's, it all depends on how you like it, what you want it to feel like. Cause some people don't look, some people don't swing them hard, right?
Yeah.
They just use the weight of the head to, you know, they pick it up, it goes straight like this, and they just kind of like point it and let it go down. And that's perfectly fine.
Let the pendulum of the head take care of it.
Yeah, right? That's perfectly fine. So you're not going to feel near as much as like a guy like me hitting a piece of really thick oak that's, you know, I'm really giving her.
You're reaching back to Nebraska and swinging.
Yes, I am on purpose, right?
Yeah.
Because I just like that. I don't want.
You know. Enjoy it.
Anyway. So I was looking at malls and I'm like, you know, I really don't want to spend the money on a really, 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 really nice mall. Fiskars has an 8-pound one. Tractor Supply had it there when we were there. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just look, it's got a fiberglass handle, but I'll just try it. It's an 8-pound.
Give it a shot.
Right? Yeah. I mean, cause it's not very expensive. And, you probably should have, you know, the Fiskars stuff. Let me say this. Fiberglass handle or not, dude, it's got a lifetime warranty. They're good about it. They work exceptionally well.
That's why I buy my tools at Lowe's. Husky, is Husky the best tool on the planet? No. But do I ever have to worry about it breaking and me having to buy another one? No, because it has a lifetime warranty.
Right. Well, so the Fiskars splitting mall bot. Anyway, the profile is amazing on the head. It's so cool. It's very... It does not bounce, and it thunks into that hardwood. It is great. It's 8 pounds, 36-inch handle, dude. It's so good.
That's what you want.
Except it's just, you know, it's got the fiberglass handle. So, but anyway, hey. Just saying, it's been fun. It's been cool. We've been doing that. I mean, it's very much been keeping me physically active, and we're doing well.
Good.
Doing
well. Good.
Except I did tear my shoulder up a little bit last week, but... Yeah. I went a little too hard.
Went a little too hard to the paint. Is that what you're telling me? Yeah. I like it though. Shows effort.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you go out and I mean, you make it a point. That's the difference, I think, it's your mindset, right? With this stuff. And I think this is the point that I was trying to make before. Your mindset dictates your outcome that you want.
Very true.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, if I'm going out with the intention of physically exerting myself to a point where I know I'm making it into a workout that I feel I've worked out, yeah, right?
For sure.
That's a totally different thing than if you're just going out to get things done.
For sure.
Right?
Yep.
So no matter if I'm going outside to like rake up some brush or pick up wood or whatever, I have this mindset where like I got 45 minutes. How can I make this 45 minutes the most physically exerting, like most physically,
get your heart rate
up,
get
all your that blood stuff
pumping, like, get the muscles burning a little bit
without being in danger. I guess that's the thing, without hurting yourself on because you can really hurt yourself on this stuff.
Well, you can because you're dealing with high pressure impact, mm-hmm, right? That's basically turning your body into a shock absorber. And that's where that danger of getting injured comes in.
What I'm shocked at, though, is how much that works your core.
Yeah. Well, what people don't realize is, all right, so I'm gonna let the secret out, all the people. Write it down, people. The strongest cores in the world don't hit their core directly. They do functional training and exercise that causes their core to be the stabilizer for the exercise.
Correct. The Arnold never did...
Yeah,
anything.
He did little bits of abs and core, but he was never a.
No, he'll tell you.
Yeah, he just it was diet for him.
And he said he focused on his core during his.
Yeah, how you breathe.
Yeah,
when I'm doing any exercise, I'm doing bench press, curl. The first thing I do is cinch down on my core, and stabilize my body with my core.
Yeah, stabilization, man, it's critical. And but that helps with everything too.
Yeah, so. Well, Reggie, it's been a freaking insane
Dude, okay.
Weak.
Let me just say that I never, I don't even like politics, but now it's like thrust in your face. It's like if they could do it 25 hours out of the 24 hours a day, they would. And I'm just, you know, I guess I'm more, so there's two things here with the let's talk about the Trump attempted assassination.
Well, I think the first thing we need to recognize is that it is a very rare event when someone attempts to take the president of the United States' lives. So I think we need to kind of stop and look at the fact that this is a very historical moment, right? A 20-year-old kid climbed up on top of a building with an AR-style weapon and attempted to end the life of a president.
It's crazy.
I don't think people understand how impactful just the event within itself is, right? And this isn't a Trump thing. This is any president. If somebody tried to shoot Biden, that's it. That's a huge thing, right? That went down. So I think first we kind of need to recognize the historical impact of what happened. And the second thing I would say is, for me, is the utter vile garbage that has been spewed about him after this happened. That's the two things that impact me the most in all of this, right? Outside of Corey Campitor losing his life protecting his family, that's probably the number one.
So, I'll get to that in a minute. Let's go talk here, right? So, there's clearly we have there is a problem, and there was a problem competently in the security of former President Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
So now the question being is like, so now there's like, you can find, I don't know, probably 50 different freaking videos of different shots and different things from people's phones and stuff everywhere now. Yeah. And, you know, I think for us laymen, we're not going to be able to like investigate this fully from those kind of videos. What I am though, kind of a, like, anticipating is that the FBI is not going to do this correctly, because the FBI is, but my opinion about the FBI is pretty low.
Yeah. CIA as well.
Yeah. And right. So I really don't think that we're going to get a really good answer to this.
Well, let's first talk about the fact that the main sniper team, the highest caliber weapon, wasn't the one that took the shot and hit the shot. It was the backup team.
Yeah.
Which, good on them. Smaller caliber weapon, harder shot, probably saved a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, and I want to make this, so I'm going to put a whole bunch of links in the freaking,
yeah, you sent me a ton of them there,
Greg. yeah, because it's I got lost in the sauce, but I think I've narrowed it down to part once. But the one guy, the survival guy, man, let me hold on, my laptop, my iPad went to sleep. Fieldcraft Survival Channel. So his video is where I think you could probably get more of a, this is kind of how things went down, because he has a lot of insider information from the Secret Service. I think that's one of the better ones that I would find.
Yeah.
But there's now video out since that of an hour before the shooting. There's crooks walking around the base of the building. Clear as day. So here's the thing. For me, I think it's divine. I do. I think God had a very, very, very real hand in this event. And it's not because I proclaim Trump is some kind of messiah figure. No, I just think that it looks very much, there's no coincidence that I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in luck. I think if you do, you're kind of missing out on a lot of things. But anyway, so I do think it's that way. I think this shows a lot of problems with the diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense.
Yep.
Which most sane people have been saying for years now, that it's nonsense, that you can't, there's some roles that it's just, you can't do equality things like that, because it's not about an equal outcome. It's about having people who can perform the best at what they are gonna do. And look, this one woman that keeps getting attacked all over the place about when she was trying to, the one Secret Service agent who was a last minute augmentation to the security.
Yes.
Secret Service team who can't holster her weapon. Look, I'm not going to say anything bad about her. I think people are, and I don't really like that too much because frankly, I wouldn't know what I would be doing in that scenario. I don't think I'd now. The point that I've heard made is that if you're a Secret Service agent, that should be such a well-rehearsed muscle memory action that your brain does not have to think about.
Absolutely.
It. So I think she probably needs some serious training, definitely some fitness stuff going on. I'm just saying this, not, but you know, there's no way like a guy like me, I'm out way out of shape to be something like that, right? Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go run after some or do that. I'm just too slow and too fat.
Let's add in the fact that Trump turns his head, shots are fired. You see him react to getting clipped in the ear, and they don't move till he hits the ground.
I don't think the response was that bad, though, because there was a couple people that came up in seconds.
Yeah, but those weren't Secret Service. Those were the Pennsylvania SWAT, man.
Yeah, but they were there. Good on them. They were there.
But the Secret Service to me was just a bit, it was almost, but then again, I try to think about the fact that I am a Secret Service agent. How rare is it that someone attempts to take the life of the president? No matter how many times I drilled it, are you ready for when that goes down?
Yeah, I mean, this is an opportunity. Like, it is such a rare opportunity, and it got messed up.
Yeah, for sure.
Here's what I'm saying. Like, how can you – this is not – I'm not saying that anybody dreams of, like, an assassination attempt, but, like, this is what the agency was built for, and they blew it. They blew it.
Yes,
sir. Now, you can blame that on – you can blame it on funding. You can blame it on the decision-making. You can circle around any one of those conspiracy theories out there. But, you know, at the end of the day – that this is their responsibility. This is what they were charged to do.
This is their job.
And they failed.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where that building was.
They steered it right into the wall.
It doesn't matter. Like, none of that matters. Either A, you messed up your planning, which they did. B, you messed up your implementation, which they did.
Yeah.
C, you freaking allowed the wrong people there or something. You've really screwed this up, you know?
Well, and now we have the Pennsylvania State Police officer who says, I saw the suspicious character and didn't do anything. So you thought the guy was suspicious when you saw him. He's walking into the rally of a presidential candidate, and all of your training didn't kick in for you to go, yeah, I need to stop and talk to that guy.
Yeah, dude, there's a lot of this stuff too. Let me just say that. So this Crooks guy, Crooks makes no sense to me, doing this. And I don't know. I'm a very, he's like too convenient of a patsy here, in my opinion. So not that I think he really was that person. I'm just saying that, you know, this dude, I don't know. He just doesn't seem like this doesn't seem like his MO, but.
Well, here's what you've got, man. Here's what you have.
I just think it's ridiculous.
You either have a setup, either one or the other, right? Which I don't. When you begin to break this down, Trump's a lot of things, but he's not crazy. So he's not going to hire a 20-year-old guy and hope that he misses. He's crazy, okay, but he's not stupid.
You, on that point, let me make this real clear, though. Trump's not stupid.
Yeah.
He's very smart. If he were going to do this, right, to stage something.
Yes.
You wouldn't hire a 20-year-old who couldn't be on the rifle team in high school because he wasn't shooting enough. He'd want to make sure that whoever he got as a shooter was like one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
He'd be paid way more than that. He wouldn't be 130 yards away. I mean, it'd be a totally different person. Okay.
He'd have been in and out and nobody would have known.
No, I mean, let's just be clear about this. Okay. This is not the way that would play out. Cause there's no way Trump would, if he has the mindset of, I want to do this to increase my chances or whatever, then he's expecting to survive that. And the only way he can do that is with a real professional shooter taking a shot.
100%.
And there's no way they would ever find out that shooter is.
Yeah.
This is way too obvious. He's not a professional shooter. He's using the wrong equipment for that anyway.
Yeah, using an AR style weapon that's not made. You can make long distance shots with it, but they're not built for it.
No. Okay. So here's the other point. They're talking about this, you know, you hear two sides of the coin, whether this was an easy shot or how could he miss this or whatever. Okay. He was using an EOTech red dot. Okay. And apparently, and I'm going back to the Fieldcraft Survival Channel where he said it was a 4 MOA. Dot. So you're talking like probably close to 4 inches of his face. If he's got on his head, that's covered up by this dot.
Yep.
Okay. From 130, 150 yards away, 131 yards, I think is what they said.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a shot you can make, but if you're a good shooter.
Yeah. But if you're inexperienced, which he was.
Yeah. He wasn't a good. Now here's the point that I think people miss. There were state troopers in that building.
There were.
They came up to confront Crooks when he was on the top of this, on top of the roof. Crooks turned his rifle towards the police. So they had to get back down. And then he like hurriedly took, that shot, I think, it's because of that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what I still don't, there's one thing after that that bothers me too. The CAT guys, those are the counter assault team.
Yep.
Though that's the, do you see those two guys? They're Secret Service guys. They're black, armored out and everything with a combat style. Those two guys come up to the stage way too slow.
Yeah.
Way too slow. That should have happened way quicker from all indications. And I'm surprised that did. The other thing is that people don't know is that one of the bullets that Crooks fired hit a hydraulic line on the crane that was holding the flag. So there was hydraulic fluid all over the cars, Secret Service cars and stuff. And that was another challenge that they had to face during mm-hmm. all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have a backup vehicle. What he was saying is like there's usually another backup vehicle that's already there on the behind. But again, funding, resources, whatever. And then, there's two things, but I would say that I want to focus on here. The first is the vile villainization in our political spectrum. You don't get an attitude where you think it's okay to kill somebody unless you think he's so evil that it's the world is better off without him. Okay.
Let me qualify what you're saying a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's Biden, if it's Trump, if it's Pence, if it's Vance, if it's any of those individuals. Kamala Harris. If you are so hard to the side of ideology that you're following, that you think someone deserves to die because they do not see things the way that you see things, shut up and go away, because you are the worst example of what this country is.
Well, they're talking
worst example.
They're talking bullseye on Trump and calling him Hitler.
Now, I will say this, and I can't remember his name, and I'll look it up so we can post it. But there was a Democratic senator who, after it happened, he had one of his cabinet members go out and shoot this tweet out. It says, I don't advocate violence, but for God's sake, take some shooting lessons and don't miss next time. He fired her instantly for that. And I was like, you know what? Good on you, dude.
Well, I know.
Good on you.
But I'm saying before this whole thing happened, you have these people calling horrible things, bigots and racists and evil. They should be off the face of the planet. Somebody really should take a shot at it. I mean, they were saying this stuff.
They were setting this. They were teeing this up.
So this is my point here. Like that's no, you did this. The media did this. The politicians did this.
Yes.
To create an atmosphere where this is completely acceptable.
Yeah.
You can see that from also the other reactions that are vile that happened after that, talking about how this could have been the greatest day ever, but he let me down. And
yeah.
What are you? You are insane.
Yeah.
And you are a blatant sheep And I hope you don't procreate.
You are the worst. You are the worst that America has to offer.
Yeah. I mean, no. Absolutely not. No.
And again, anybody, if somebody took a shot at Biden tomorrow and Trump guys jumped up and started saying that, I'd feel the same way about them. If you advocate the death of someone because of your ideology, you suck.
Well, there's a point. I think there's a point where if you have an tyrannical ideology that is causing pain and suffering, you know, I think you create the opportunity for an insurrection that does have violent stuff, but it's got to the point where that's the only thing left to do. Okay.
Yeah.
We're not there in this country though. That's my point. That is not where we're at.
Not even close.
That's the other point is that these people, I really truly think you're sick, and I'm glad I don't know anybody who does that or has those opinions.
But that goes back to COVID and Antifa and BLM and all these movements where they thought it was okay to hurt people and to destroy. And what you're seeing is just a continuation and an acceleration of these things. And the one thing I do love about these types of people is they will not and cannot hide. Eventually they're going to spew something ridiculous. Oh, yeah. And they're going to get found out.
There was a veteran who confronted a Home Depot employee that had posted something like that.
Yeah.
That vial again, like,
yeah.
And a veteran like totally went to Home Depot, saw this chick and freaking confronted her. Right now, I don't condone some stuff. And really, I think the more you ignore those idiots and call it out as being repulsive is better than doing anything else. But the second thing here is that we talk a lot about being biblical man and sacrificing and being selfless and all this stuff. And I truly don't think we could have any better illustration of that than Corey.
Corey Campeador.
Campeador. Man, I cannot say that, dude. I'm so sorry, but yeah, there's no better example of a hero, a biblical man who sacrificed himself for his family.
And I would like to say this. If you really want to know so when Reggie and I, we talk about masculinity a lot, and we talk about, and I want you to know that this is the ultimate example of masculinity. A man who loves and reveres his family so much that he would voluntarily lay down his life to make sure that they are safe in the most dreadful situation. And first of all, my condolences to that family. I can't even begin to know where you're at and what's going on. Kudos to the Trump campaign and all of the conservative politicians who have reached out to that family. Guys, that's what it is. That's what it is.
And by the way,
yeah.
Who reached out to the family?
The Trump campaign did.
Trump did himself.
Yeah. And
where did Biden or anybody?
I think some representatives of Biden reached out, but I don't think, I don't know. And I'll double check myself on this, but I don't think that he reached out. But here's the point I'm trying to get at. When Reggie and I are sitting in this chair and we're talking to you guys, we're not talking about some kind of predominant male existence where we dominate and subjugate everyone.
I am. I'm just kidding.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
I was like, dude, way to kill the moment. All right. But what we're talking about is, you know, everybody goes, you know, because you're a man, you get this and you get that. Well, guess what? Because I'm a man, that might be true. But because I'm a man who believes in family and the purpose of family, I'll be the one to lay down my life.
As demonstrated at a real event.
Yeah.
That just happened.
So yeah, I'm proud to be a masculine male.
There's a degree of respect and dignity and office associated with that station.
Yes. But there's also the responsibility of
yes.
being the one who will take the worst of it when the time comes.
Yeah. So the other thing, this is said in many different philosophical and spiritual, all kinds of things, but you know, you don't know what the man's made out of until they are in a crisis or something, right? It's said in all kinds of different ways, but basically like when things are copacetic and everything's cool, that's not when you see what a man's really made out of. You see it when things hit the fan.
Yeah.
When I saw former President Trump, so he gets shot by the ear, reaches behind, feels something, drops down, knees covered up. He gets right back up. You got to understand, how could he know everything's okay?
Was the shooter down? Was he still in danger?
His first instinct, like the first thing was, I want to get my shoes.
Yeah.
Which, it's Trump, so they're probably very expensive. I don't doubt it.
They're probably like $500
and Armani's. If whatever. But then he just says, no, wait. And pumps his fist.
Yeah.
Fight,
baby.
Blood on his face.
You know, I gotta say.
Are you kidding me, man?
I gotta say, I was on the fence. But if he is the Republican candidate, I will vote for him.
That just, all I'm saying is right there demonstrates so much more than you could ever see about a man.
On any level.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what he said. What that did was demonstrate just kind of how he's got some balls, bro. And he's the tough guy.
And he's not afraid.
No, he is not a coward.
He's not afraid.
I don't, at this point, I mean, look, that's, it was just amazing, man. I felt such like, holy cow, we actually have somebody who did that, running for president.
Absolutely.
After the 4 years we've had of our brilliant leader, who had just been bumbling and everything else and falling downstairs and missing names and screwing everything up
off and I mean whatever
all of a sudden it's just like such a shot of adrenaline to the American people, I think.
Well, and on top of that, I mean, look, man, and no matter how this pans out, it doesn't pan out well for the Biden administration, and here's why. All right, you had that disaster of a debate. Then you go out and have a press conference where you take unscripted questions, although he had a list of reporters that he called on. He didn't take unscripted questions. He had a list in front of him that he could call on.
Yeah.
And then after Trump was shot, that absolutely weak statement that he made, with which he still trailed off and bumbled, and dude, I don't think you're doing yourselves any favors by sticking in the game, man.
No, and the media too, after this whole thing, showed exactly what they are.
Yep. Everybody, Fox News.
Everybody knew there was clear. And they say, an apparent disruption. That's what they said. And they used apparent a lot in the reporting, right? On purpose. This is what people don't understand. This stuff is on purpose. Words are picked on purpose.
Words have meaning.
Oh, it was so terrible. I was just cringed the whole freaking evening and into the morning. Like, just, these people are sick.
This is what I was talking about in the beginning. We have been witness to an absolutely epic historical event. Not Trump being great, but someone attempted to take the life of a former president whilst trying to be reelected. Dude, that just doesn't happen a lot. I mean, when was the last one that you can remember? I think the one with Reagan, right?
Reagan, yeah.
And it didn't end great for Reagan. I mean, he made it through and he was a great president, but dude, somebody attempted to take his life. And dude, if somebody shot me in the ear and my first instinct is take cover and figure out how to get ready for what's coming.
Dude, I think
his first instinct was, let me get my shoes. Rock on. Let's do this. And then right off the stage, he went.
I'm telling you, bro, if somebody would have handed him a rifle, I'm sure he would have shot back.
Yeah. I'm absolutely sure if he was armed, he would have returned fire.
He just would have returned fire. And just was like, no, you ain't doing that.
And you know what I loved about it too? This is something else I love too. Everybody expected Trump to come out throwing rights and lefts in the next couple of days. You could tell that the liberal media was just, they were waiting for the Trump ego.
The Trumpian.
And what did he do? He laid low. He let his representatives talk. He's recovered. And tonight is his speech at the Republican National Convention. And I got a feeling when he walks out on that stage, there will not be a measurable way to figure out what the decibel level in that building is.
No. No, I mean, even last, so speaking of that, I did watch J.D. Vance's speech last night. So I watched it a little bit because I knew that, I don't know much about J.D. Vance. I just know he's a small town guy, came up legit, you know, it's not like from, you know, a Harvard or, you know, Princeton kind of nonsense.
Yeah. Went to law school with Vivek.
Yeah, Vivek, and his wife is, you know, not like a white chick.
Yeah, she's
I don't remember what South
Indian. She's Indian.
Something. Anyway, so here, but so I wanted to hear what he had to say and how he presented himself. Man, that dude's sharp, dude.
He is.
That dude's really sharp.
I think it's a good pick because
he's younger.
He will connect with younger voters. And I think what he's going to do is awaken that part of the conservative party that was intimidated in the last election.
I think what they're doing is setting him up to be Trump's successor.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, he's a young guy. He's kind of different. They're setting him up to be this, you know, the next president after Trump.
Yeah.
Because this is where Trump's headed. This is why I think people underestimate Trump too. I truly think he's not thinking about 4 years. He's thinking about 50 years, thinking about 100 years, dude. You know, he's got plans out. And if you look at how he's been successful in his businesses and stuff, you kind of have to expect this. Like, yeah,
he's thinking forward.
Yeah. That dude's not a, you know, lackadaisical, you know, can't think past tomorrow kind of person. Anyway,
you don't become a billionaire by being that guy.
No, I just thought it was funny. There was a couple things that during last night's RNC thing where they talked about, like, Donald Trump Jr. got up and spoke about things, and he did fully acknowledge the heroism and everything of Corey. Yeah. And he acknowledged all that. Very, I thought that was awesome that he would do that. J.D. Vance was up there, and he was I thought one cool thing was, like, he was talking about his mother. His mamaw raised him pretty much. His mom had some addiction problems and stuff. Mm-hmm. And when he pointed, his mom was there, and he goes, yeah, thankfully, thank God, my mom's been clean and sober for 10 years now. And mom stood up, and she turns over to the guy next to her. She goes, that's my boy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what a stereotypical thing, but that's there, right. It is. Hey, I mean, that's what it is.
The American dream, right?
She's proud of she's proud of her boy, bro.
Her son is about to be the vice president of the United States and possibly president of the United States at one point or another. Yeah. So,
I mean, dude, it was just really cool. They talked a lot. They were really on the working class. They were on that in that during JD's thing. That's their point. The hope that they're the rhetoric, if you could say something like that, was very much of a working class people bringing jobs back, getting rid of this and that, and the natural resources being used here instead of this and this. It was very much all about that, right? And I think that speaks to JD's, where he's from and everything. So anyway, it was okay. Everybody says the same thing though on these arguments. I would get bored with it because everybody does. Everybody says the same thing.
Well, it does. I mean, Tim Scott came out and spoke, and I will say that Dr. Ben Carson, I would encourage people to listen to his RNC speech because he kind of roasted Biden for a few minutes. Like, he stuck him on the spigot.
Mm-hmm. Dude, he's no joke either, man.
Ben Carson is a sharply intelligent man.
He's
very, very impressive guy, right? I personally am a huge fan. But I don't know, man. I don't know that Biden can pull this one out after what happened. I think that whole thing happening just steeled America in the stead of we need some change.
Dude, it's okay. Look, if that'll get me to buy a print of the Time magazine cover.
Yes, Reggie purchased a, did you frame it?
Not, it's a metal print.
It's a metal print.
I bought the metal print.
Oh, that's a beautiful 10, thing.
10 by 14.
Soon it will be hanging probably right about here.
The whole, the iconic picture of Trump with the, on the Time cover.
With the blood.
Oh yeah,
I
dude.
I was so epic. And I told, and here's what freaks me out. I was actually sitting on my couch watching that rally when that whole thing went down.
Yeah.
Nothing like seeing it go down live time, right? And I told my wife, I said, you just saw the birth of the next president right there.
It was obvious.
It was so
it was so
obvious. And this poll numbers have just skyrocketed. Like the support, I mean, if he loses, it'll be, I will literally be so stunned. It won't even be funny. Like I don't even know that I'll be able to describe.
That'll be completely an illegitimate election at that point. I can't. Well, look, elections are what they are anymore. It's so hard. You can sit there and say, oh, us, the conspiracy theory and nutbags and everything, but you got to understand, though, it's been proven right so many times here lately that it's kind of the wise thing to be as a conspiracy theorist anymore.
Yeah. Well, if anything, if you're not anymore, you're wrong more than you're right.
That's what I mean. You know, it's crazy.
Anyway, I think we've chased that rabbit.
Yeah, but I mean, look, it's just epic, dude. I mean, just this whole thing.
It is.
And also it's epic in the way that it illustrates a lot of what's wrong in some things that we have going on, man. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things here. I mean, just so much.
As much as it steeled me to be a Trump voter when the election comes, it really set in stone how we really need to change the attitude and the rhetoric going on right now in politics.
It's very much
it's toxic.
It's gone past the need.
Yeah, it's toxic. It's required. It's so toxic, as a matter of fact, that unfortunately, I don't know that you can bring the current version of it back.
Yeah, and on that same note, I watched a thing with Tucker Carlson and the Heritage Foundation did a thing on this. I think it's going to be one of the links. And so it really made Project 2025 even more of a cool thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I just hearing the guys who run the foundation talk about stuff, ask the questions they asked. It was they're sharp, dude. And I mean, it's completely like pro constitution and you know, liberty, personal responsibility. So of course the left's going to hate it, you know? But see, this is the thing. I'm not calling anybody who is throwing all this. I just say you're kind of making yourself look like a fool because you're not reading the actual thing and you're spouting somebody else's propaganda. I'm not saying violent thoughts about anybody like that. Mm-hmm. However, that's what's going on.
Well, here's the problem you got, right? And I felt this way for years. Unfortunately, it's so easy to be liberal. And what I mean by that is it's easy to look at all that's going on and go, oh, it's okay. You just do you and be you. You have the right. Here's the deal.
I know.
No, you don't. You do not have the right to wish death upon somebody.
No.
You do not have the right to take life, to decide when life is taken. The greatest men in history have stood for something. Name me one hard left liberal that you would chisel their face on a monument.
Yeah, no.
There isn't one.
No. Well, okay, let me say this about what you're saying. I think you should be able to say whatever you want to say. And you should be free to speak whatever you want to speak. Okay? That's freedom of speech. However, the culture itself should demonize that kind of rhetoric.
It should.
All that should be a cultural thing.
And here's the thing. It takes a moral center to understand that that is wrong.
It takes an objective moral center.
It does. It takes an objective moral center. That's a very good point. When you look at yourself and you realize that you have no objective moral center, it's time to hit the panic button.
I mean,
and I can sit here and tell you that, and that the AOCs and all of these people who are demonizing certain groups of people, which that's what really gets me. They'll call America racist, but they'll demonize Israel. They'll demonize Jews. They'll demonize and then have the nerve to turn around and say, but you guys are the racist ones, right? When you have zero moral center at all, so much so that you can be pulled in any direction without clear thought or contemplation, you need to hit the panic button.
Yeah, I mean, try to take a look at how you formulate right and wrong. Where's that coming from? What are you basing that on?
Right and wrong.
Well, not you. I'm just saying them.
But what I'm saying for them is right and wrong should never come with a level of comfort. And what I mean by that is it should be natural for me to point out what's right, and it should be painful for me to see, observe, and stand by while something that is morally corrupt is happening. When you don't have those trigger feelings or emotions when you see something right or wrong, you've lost. And those are key parts of just being a human being. Being naturally, you know, when I see a news story where a mom kills her kids, that's heartbreaking to me. When I see a news story that a guy walks into a building and shoots 30 people, that's heartbreaking to me. Heartbreaking enough for me to react in a way to say, we need to make change. And it ain't, well, if we would have just let him be who he was and he wasn't persecuted. No, this person obviously had issues. The people around him ignored them because they didn't want to admit there was something wrong with him or her.
But I don't even know. I don't even know at this point.
Well, like, that's the thing.
Crooks is being, they're shoving so much of that stuff away.
But that's the thing. Like the shooter at the Christian school, right?
Well, you knew that. You knew their property. But
when you go into their background,
there was
years and years of ignorance towards the problem. Even accessories to the act by allowing them buying and purchasing them weapons, and you knew there was a problem.
Yeah,
not with their propaganda, not with their political view. They had a mental health issue that you were ignoring for the sake of wanting them to feel included. No, you get that person help and you get them the necessary help, not your version of help, which is, well, we'll make you feel comfortable and sure, we'll do this for you. No, that person is mentally ill. You need to go and do something about getting that person help.
Yeah, this it's disgusting, brother. It just is. I mean, but it goes beyond that too. When you see yourself as a victim, when you see yourself as like, the system is the problem. When you have all these excuses, but your own,
the biggest destroyer.
It's it
of personal responsibility is the victim mentality.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you know. So, but anyway. So, I mean, I think. I truly think this is this is such a huge, just bright spotlight on issues that have been going on.
All right, I'm gonna say it, and it's a shit show, man.
Yeah,
it's what it is. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. It's a giant
turd. It's a turd sandwich. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I think. What I would point the focus on is that I think this is a God event happened with Trump.
It did.
I think that he showed his mettle. I think that we saw a man do his duty and express the biblical idea of man, of a husband and a father, more than we could ever express.
Yep.
I think that our attitudes towards law enforcement
have
definitely impacted things like this, which is, I mean, you know, I don't, well, I have stuff to say about that, but you know, I think that there's, and I would just encourage everybody that you're probably not going to see the absolute truth about any of this.
No, not at all.
From cell phone videos and all this stuff. They're going to keep, you know, let's say, for instance, it was a inside job. Well, you'll never know.
No, you won't.
It'll be like the John F. Kennedy thing. It'll be like, you know, 60 years after today.
You'll find out about.
They'll release the papers and all of a sudden you're like, and then no one cares at that point.
Yeah, it's too late.
You know,
what are you going to do at that
point? Which I encourage anybody to look at that stuff, because that's that's also really interesting.
It is.
But I actually think, Brian, we are out of time today, brother.
You think?
Yeah.
I think we might have attacked it, man.
We did it.
We went hard at it.
Folks, look, it's an interesting time to be alive.
It is.
I would never have, this was the last thing I would anticipate talking about on an R&B Talks episode, to be honest.
Like this was one of those things that was the furthest from my mind until last week.
Yeah.
And then
We
were actually going to talk about grief today.
So we'll put grief. We'll do grief the next episode.
Yeah,
folks. But
what I would encourage people to do. First of all, take a step back and look at the historical significance of what we witnessed, and give it the gravity that it deserves. Okay. Number two, regardless of what your opinion is of Donald Trump or Joe Biden, realize that a man's life was almost taken.
Who's a husband,
a father, and a father,
a grandfather,
and on top of that, really look at yourself and check where you're at mentally and emotionally right now. Because what we need more than anything in this country is to pull back into not necessarily a stoic state of mind, but we need to observe and report on the actual event, not the emotion of the event.
There's a video and it's in the Time of India. Times of India? Yeah. Where there's a video showing the people after the attempted shooting yelling. There's like these bunch of guys yelling at the media in this, because you know the media is all in this thing, railing on them about it's your fault. It's your fault.
Yeah.
And they're not wrong.
They're not wrong.
And here's the thing. I want to express this. I don't care what, if you're left, right, center, libertarian, green party,
be whatever you need
pink,
to be.
Pink lady. I don't care. The thing we should all do is learn how to recognize propaganda and actually push back on the media outlets for participating in propaganda. We don't need that from news. We need news to be completely without emotion and political affiliation.
I don't need your opinion piece. They have blogs and
podcasts. You can have your own show. Have your own show. Podcast, you want to do that, man. Right? I mean,
but if you're reporting the news, just give me the news.
Yes.
I don't care what your slant is against the Republican or Democratic Party. I don't care who you hate and who you love. If you want to have that conversation, we can have that conversation. But your responsibility as a news broadcaster is to report the facts.
But these organizations only exist because they're supported by the people who watch them. If the people said, look, this that's enough. I'm not going to listen to you anymore if you do propaganda nonsense. If you're trying to skew the picture a certain way, turn it off.
Yeah.
Stop.
Step away from
it. Stop watching it.
You know,
I mean, dude, that's the only if you impact their ad revenue, that's going to the money speaks louder than anything. Yeah. Stop.
Yeah. Take away their paycheck and see how quickly they change their
tune. That's all I'm saying, man. You know,
right? This is what Americans don't realize is we have more lock and sway than we think.
Yes, we do.
We can choose to not tune in. We can choose to not purchase something. We can we can voice our displeasure with something by taking away our participation in it. And we don't. And that's what I don't understand. I took all news apps off my phone. I check the news once a day, and I try to check Free Press because it's not that slanted. I'll look sometimes at Fox and MSNBC just to get angles, but I was tired of them, so I took my participation away.
It's exactly what you have to do. We have to as a people say, look, we will no longer support that kind of journalism. That's what you have to do today.
Absolutely.
That's what we have to do.
Absolutely.
This illustrates the need for that to happen.
I agree 100%.
So there's going to be a lot of links at the bottom in the description about this whole stuff. And it goes from right after I saw it happen to, yeah, even today. No, yesterday, right? Because that's when we met. It was yesterday. Yeah, so yesterday. And so it goes all over the place about stuff. But it's just a glimpse of things, just in case anybody has not looked into it and they want to, and they want to see some different perspectives, it's all going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so anyway, look, I don't want anybody to have a monstrous idea towards anybody.
No.
We're going to call a spade though. And for you, all you all out there, we hope you do the same.
Yeah.
So we're R&B Talks.
Like, subscribe.
Do the things.
Do all the things.
Comment.
I want you to do all the things. Comment. Argue with me. I'm in the mood to argue, so stoop me some
we
stuff.
We did have one I responded to.
Yeah.
I was pretty heavy on the guy, but.
Dude, you got to lean in, right?
It was like nothing. You know, if you're going to say something, say something. If you don't, I'm going to tell you. And look, no hard feelings. Really, I appreciate the comment.
Yeah. We appreciate the fact that you felt strongly enough to post something up there. But, you know, and you know, I do not believe in karma.
Nope.
But I do believe that the energy that you put out there is what you'll get back. And that is what I would tell people. Be careful. Be careful of the energy you put out there, because it will come back to you.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I think this is a more of a push for us as two guys trying to make just to stand up for what we believe on a platform. I truly think that we're doing the right thing.
Right on.
Yeah. I'm Reggie.
I'm Brian.
And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.